is. Have you seen his Instagram?
Yeah, they need
it's Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Eduardo Nunez hit a pinch hit 3-run home run to open it up, make it 8-4. Quick shot, swing game one. In a 3-hour, 52-minute game. Matt Barnes gets the win. Clayton Kershaw goes to 9-9 in his career in the postseason. He gets the loss. Kimbrel gets the final three outs, but Boston Red Sox, with what they put on display here tonight, reminded everybody how they were able to win 108 games during the regular season.
I thought this was an action-packed game early. A lot of key moments that went the Red Sox way, and their theory and formula stays on point when you think about how they score, when they score, and the daggers of those two-out runs. You just, when you're on the other side of it, it just feels worse. And when you're on that side of it, there's nothing that feels better. And David Price is going to have a 1-0 game lead going into his start.
Lucky Strike, we're on location right across the street from Fenway Park, where last night the Red Sox opened up the World Series with that win over the Dodgers. You are all watching, and we're going to talk about it all day long today. Got Big Jim Murray and Maz alongside. Opening thoughts, Maz, what did you think of that game last night?
Okay, so overall what I would tell you is that, to me, that this is in a lot of ways a continuation of how the Red Sox have played, particularly in this postseason. They jumped on them early. They've scored in the first inning now, I think, four of the last five games. They've been aggressive, same formula. They're getting good performance out of the bullpen. I thought the real key moments in the game were in the middle innings. I thought from basically the fifth through the seventh, and really even the fifth and sixth in particular, to me, were absolutely critical parts of that game. The Dodgers had sort of played their way back into it. The Red Sox were able to stop the momentum. I thought Joe Kelly pitched maybe the best he's ever pitched in a Red Sox uniform.
Where'd that changeup come from?
So, he has it on occasion. I would say like one out of every 10 outings.
I was going to say, did he use it during the regular season?
Every once in a while. I mean, it's just usually not that effective.
It was freaking nasty.
It was awesome. I mean, he was absolutely dynamite. He was the best pitcher in the game last night. He was that good. Really excellent. 14 pitches, 11 strikes.
Go ahead, Murray.
Murray's nodding over here. Yeah,
because he's Joe Wetland now. It's not John Wetland. It's Joe Wetland. He's now just another guy that is killing the narrative. The Wheel of Gutless Bums no longer exists. Now Joe Kelly is John Wetland. Joe Wetland coming out of that bullpen. He's nails. He's found a changeup. He's dominant. And the bullpen, I thought, was the story of the night last night. That fifth and seventh inning between him and Eovaldi, they were nails.
I mean, that's really, to me, where the game was won, right in the middle there. And I thought that was a huge part of the game for the Red Sox. They're getting good performances out of those guys in the bullpen. We did not see it during the year, particularly in the second half of the year. Now, all of a sudden, it's assembly line stuff. And it's so huge for them. I mean, they get game one here, 13-2 in their last 15 World Series games of all things. Like, you want to talk about all unbelievable statistics. And Alex Cora continues to be hot as a pistol. And so it all continues to go the way they sort of drew it up. And honestly, I thought a little bit in that seventh inning last night they got lucky. I thought they got lucky there
a little bit.
Because I thought that both managers played to matchups that, honestly, I think favored the Dodgers. And when I see Brazier going against all those lefties in that Dodger lineup, I think Dave Roberts looks at that and says, I'll take this. I'll take my chances. And I thought they were getting a Brazier. And then Eduardo Rodriguez comes in against Cody Bellinger. He falls behind 2-0 and pipes a fastball, and Bellinger pops it up. And so what that at-bat was to me was, because we've talked a lot about matchups here in the last couple of days, right? So that specific matchup, Eduardo Rodriguez against Cody Bellinger. Did Eduardo Rodriguez get him out because he's good against lefties? Or did Bellinger not get a hit because he's bad against lefties?
Well, that didn't feel like a great pitch.
It wasn't a great pitch.
I mean, it didn't feel like a well-pitched at-bat. He's down 2-0 and then grooves a fastball that was tailing away. I won't say it was a total meatball. but it was
hittable.
It was a fastball in the zone. So he throws two balls and then a fastball in the zone and gets him out. So is that the pitching?
So, again, so that's what I say. To me, that is evidence of a guy who can't hit lefties. And it almost doesn't matter who the lefty is on the mound as long as you're throwing something reasonably decent.
Ergo, Drew Pomerantz.
Exactly.
Which is, their rationale here.
Exactly. And I, you know, to me, that was sort of it in a nutshell. So that's what I mean when I say Cora got a little lucky there. He just got lucky that Bellinger popped it up because Eduardo Rodriguez did not do anything special there to get Cody Bellinger out. Now, that said, it's breaking their way. You need breaks to win, too, but you can't minimize what some of those relievers did in the middle innings.
Yeah, and I tweeted at the time, and you can imagine how this ended up panning out. I actually thought Drew Pomeranz might have been the play there, considering how much they talked him up in the day. He's had experience doing that before in a situation like that, and they said the velocity was up, so... Okay, it worked out for Eduardo Rodriguez, but at that point I was like, well, why not try Pomerantz, considering that you've now added him to the roster?
So, here are my three thoughts. One is the Sox relentlessness, which is just a cliche, and they'll tell it to you every time you ask, but, I mean, it's really, you really see it. I mean, it's just, you commit an error, they take advantage. They get on base, they run. You score in your half inning, they come back the very next half inning.
Last three times the Dodgers scored, the Red Sox were countered.
And score. You get them with two outs and two strikes, they bear down, and, you know, in an inordinate amount of time, they come through. So there's just sort of a relentlessness with that team. I hate using that word because it's something they would put on a T-shirt. But, I mean, it's really true.
Well, the stat that backs that up is 32 of their 64 runs have in this postseason have come with two outs.
So they just, but, I mean, you saw it from the first at-bat. Dodgers commit an error. Betts gets on, steals. Puig makes a stupid throw. That run comes in. And it's like, so you just saw it from the first at-bat, the Sox relentlessness.
They had the Dodgers on their heels early.
And so that leads to number two, is that the Dodgers weren't quite ready to match it. Like, hey, fellas, wake up. It's the World Series. You know, if Freeze drops that first pop-up, it's like, here we go.
I know. I felt the same thing. And I thought the Dodgers were a little sort of, I don't want to say overwhelmed because that's too strong, but in the early part of the game, I thought it was like, okay, here we go. The World Series is here, guys. Are we ready to go?
They weren't ready to match. You know, like that would be like a football or hockey sort of analysis. That one team came out at a certain level and the other team didn't match. But that's how I felt it was. I felt once the Dodgers engaged and, you know, woke up, it was a fairly even ball game. But to start, it was like, hey, you know, all of you, you know, here we go. The Sox are ready to go and they're zipping around all over the place. Are you ready?
Yeah, and even Kershaw. Maybe,
sure,
maybe especially Kershaw.
Absolutely Kershaw.
Yeah. I mean, it was eye-opening there in that first inning. Whistled the line drive to center. Steal on the first pitch. Benintendi belts one to right. Betts scores. Benintendi takes second. Like, it's the equivalent of being punched in the nose in the first minute of the first round.
Right. It's like, hello, guys, Dodgers. We're playing now, and they're ready to go. Okay? So you've got to be. I think, again, once you got through that, I think the game was sort of even, and it came down to singular at-bats, and the game, quote-unquote, could have gone the other way. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I think L.A. did enough to win later on in the game, too. We're not early. And I think tonight, let's see. Let's see if the Dodgers woke up with that and realized what it's going to take from the first pitch. But so anyway, the Sox relentlessness, the Dodgers weren't ready to match. And three is just, again, it's nothing we've talked about, but it's just so freaking glaring. And that, whatever Cord decides to do is going to be right. And whatever the other guy decides to do is wrong. It's just staggering.
Uncanny.
And we're going to give you all sorts of examples where I'm not sure that Cord made the right call or that Roberts made the wrong one. But it feels like everything that they do, it works for Cord and it doesn't the other guy.
Right. And it almost never goes that way.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's never that kind of landslide. Right. Usually you get, you know, 10 decisions in the game, 5 by each guy, 6 go one way, 4 go the other. Like, it's usually something like that. This is 10 squat. This is a 10 zip. It's a blowout for crying out loud. Everything goes their way. Everything. And I'm not criticizing them for it. I just think that whatever it is, Cora is hot.
I mean, so, like, the big one that everyone's talking about was really the key to the game was taking out Baez and bringing in the left-hander.
Alex Wood, right.
And the Red Sox counter with Nunez. Well, if Roberts lets Baez pitch to Devers and Devers beats Baez, we're going to sit here and go, well, you idiot. Why didn't you bring your left-hander to face Devers? So instead he does the other thing, and that's what he had done the previous time through, by the way. In the fifth, he had Devers against Madsen, two out, runners on, and Roberts let Madsen, the right-hander, pitch to Devers, the left-hander.
And he whistled a single to right.
Devers hit an RBI single to I thought it was to left, but either way, he singled in the run. And so right there, I was saying, well, where's the left-hander there for Devers? He went with Madsen on Devers. It didn't work. So the next time he says, all right, now I'm going to bring in the lefty for Devers. And if he brings in Nunez, then I'm bringing in a bench player late in the game on a cold night. I'm going to take that. And that doesn't work either. So it's like, in both cases, he might have had the right logic. It doesn't work. Alex Cora lets Brazier after having a really shaky outing.
Yeah, I thought he should have pulled him.
He let Brazier pitch to Manny Machado.
I know it.
And Machado weakly flied out. It brought in a run. But if Machado barrels that ball and drives it and drives in a couple runs, we're going to sit there and say, Brazier didn't have it tonight. Were you watching? But nope. Machado pops out, essentially. And so it's like, whether Cora's right or wrong or Roberts is right or wrong, Cora's move is going to work out and Roberts isn't. It's just insane.
Right, and then after that is when Rodriguez came in and got Bellinger.
And he didn't even pitch well in the
back to back. And so I was screaming for Brazier to get out of that game. And this is what I mean by I think Cora got a little bit lucky there in the middle of the game. So I'm not sure those were the right decisions based on what we were seeing. But clearly they want Evaldi to start with a clean inning, so they don't want to drop him in the middle of an inning. So it's almost like Cora decides going into the inning, here's what we're going to do. Brazier's going to pitch all the way up until and through Machado. And then if Bellinger gets up there, that's when Rodriguez comes in. But other than that, I don't care what happens in the game, Brazier's staying. It's almost like he preordains it. He pre-programs it and says this is the way it's going to be, end of story. It doesn't even factor what's going on the field. I mean, which I find hard to deal with.
Right, I agree. And I think the bias thing is another one. So I'm saying you could second guess it either way. Maybe it was the right call. Baez was not the right call. That guy was throwing bullets.
Bullets.
He looked really good. So, well, I'm saying he didn't pinch hit for, he let Madsen throw to Devers. Madsen wasn't throwing like Baez was last night. Baez was on. And he only thrown what, 10 pitches or whatever?
10.
And Baez had come in a real tough spot. There was a bloop double there, I think, to lead off by Benintendi. From whoever was on the mound. Maybe it was Madsen. I don't know.
I think it was Arias.
Okay, so there's you're down a run, man on second, nobody out, or two runs, whatever it is. It's a tight ball game. Man on second, nobody out. You let that run in, you're over. And Baez comes in and strikes out the next two guys.
Well, there was the intentional walk to Martinez in between, but that was a run.
Right. So he strikes out Moreland. He strikes out Bogarts.
And blew them away.
It's like, so this guy's hot. He's throwing the ball well. He just got through this traffic. You stick with them there. But I'm telling you that if they had stuck with Baez and the Sox had stuck with Devers and Devers lines another single against the right-hander, we'd say to Roberts, why don't you bring in the left-hander there?
Sure.
I mean, but Cora does not seem to be getting caught in these spots.
No, and I'll tell you what, again, I think he's like, he's just not paying attention to what's going on the field. And when I say not paying attention, not putting any stock.
So you're saying Roberts isn't?
No, Cora, and I'm talking about Brazier now. Now I'm going back to Brazier.
Yes, I think they're both doing that.
So there's some truth to that.
Because if Roberts was actually watching
Baez.
If he was watching Baez and how the ball was coming out of his hand, you'd say, no. You're going to actually ride this guy not just for this at-bat, but for the next couple innings.
Right, all the decisions are being made on paper before the guys even get on the mound.
The three-ring binder. The three-ring binder is managing this series on both sides, on every side in Major League Baseball, and that's why you're seeing what you saw last night. Either way, fascinating stuff to talk about, and we'll do it with you and your calls. We'll get to you next. It's Felger and Maz from Lucky Strike here at Fenway.
In the shadows of Fenway, Felger and Maz are at Lucky Strike on Lansdowne with Budweiser on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I really want to win the World Series. I think that's no different than the other 50 guys in both locker rooms. Yeah, there's no secret that we want to win.
It's what we signed up for. This is what we prepared for all year. Chance to win a championship.
A lot of people are proud of what supposedly I'm doing. I'm proud of the group. This is a group that they have high expectations. The goal is to win the World Series.
Right side. To the plate on an RBI base hit by Martinez. It's 2-0.
Fly ball, left field, back at the wall and into the Monsters. A home run. Matt Kemp with a home run.
And a ground ball base hit into left field.
Turner rounding third. He's on his way home, and he will score on the RBI single by Manny Machado.
Right into center field. Running around third is Pierce. Red Sox regain the lead. It's 3-2.
And a swing and a ground ball to short. Machado to second, one. On to first. Not in time. Bogarts beats it out.
That is a ground ball base hit by Devers. Benintendi scores. And it's 5-3 Red Sox in the fifth. A swing and a miss. Back-to-back strikeouts for Kelly. Kellen has one in the shallow center. Bradley is there and has it to end the inning.
Nunez, a good bad ball hitter off the left-handers.
That is hammered in the left. It is gone. Pinch hit three-run home run. Nunez. Red Sox win game one.
Today was a whole team effort. That was cool to see. A lot of guys that they struggled towards the end of the season, and they did an outstanding job tonight. That was a very team-oriented win.
Welcome back at the game with you. We got our thoughts open the show. Now here's your chance, and we'll pick through all the details as we go forward throughout the rest of the day. A lot of people waiting, so I implore you, Bob and Easton, who's leading us off. Be brief. Go, Bob.
I'm looking at my Felger and Maz Murray checklist on fake win. You guys have done everything but call this one a fake win. With the negative tone, Felger, with the three-ring binder, Cora managed this perfectly. This isn't Harvey Keene, Earl Weaver. Those days are over, Felger, okay? Every manager has stat guys, and they have a three-ring binder. So enough with that. So you think it was? You don't think that move by Cora to bring in Nunez was a brilliant move?
Oh, it worked absolutely.
Whoa! That wasn't a great move, Maz. That wasn't a great move.
But Bob, I think it's a pretty basic move. In a lot of ways, I was surprised he did it. But why do you get offended?
I wasn't surprised he did it to bring in a righty versus a lefty late in the game. Like, how's that? I mean, that's really not that.
But again, it's knowing your team. This is what I don't understand. And all year, I've heard fake wins and just everything. And you know, they don't have it. Or what? And just when you guys do the, you know, previously on Felger and Maz, brought to you by whoever, just watching that, I would, you know, this Dodger team, what they did to Peyton Kershaw, yeah, Peyton, because the guy's 9-9 now, okay? What they did to them was unbelievable. They rattled them. And you can't just give them the credit that they deserve. Instead, you have
okay,
to...
Okay, so that last part, I gave you 90 seconds. No one's calling this. There's no fake wins in the World Series.
Right. See, this is what... why does he get offended every time you try to point something out about things breaking your way? Like, why is that offensive? I don't get that. They played better than the Dodgers. Absolutely they did. And right now they look like an absolute buzzsaw.
His comment line says they're just better than everybody else.
They might be. I mean, it might be that simple.
It sort of looks that way.
Yeah. It really might be that simple. Again, they're 8-2 in the postseason, and they beat the three other teams who are the best right now, the best run differential in baseball this year other than them. They look like a buzzsaw.
Here's Mike in Danvers. What do you got, Mike, on that decision to take out Devers for Nunez? Go.
Well, guys, look, I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. You cannot take Devers out of that lineup. You got to leave him in that lineup. So what you do is you're going to have to put Nunez at second base. You know, I mean, that's just simple as it is. And that's, I just wanted your guys' opinion on that.
Okay, so I'm sorry, you're saying going forward. I should ask you how you felt about Cora taking out Devers last night in the seventh inning. It seemed to work out. But we haven't seen the lineup for today. It's another left-hander. You know, so that was sort of interesting last night that usually against those left-handers, it's Kinsler and Nunez together.
Correct.
Or it's Devers and Holt together on the left side.
Right.
And he sort of split them last night. What do you think tonight is?
So I've been meaning to look into Ryu's splits, okay, because I think that, and I don't know enough about Ryu's stuff, but Kershaw, if you look at him, is not the power guy and dominant guy on lefties that he used to be. In fact, the splits actually go the other way a little bit. So as Cora was explaining it before the game, they said, well, you know, we thought Devers could handle Kershaw and hang in there. And I think they were going stylistically with the kind of pitcher Kershaw is and what Devers is capable of. It's not a horrible left-on-left matchup, so they decided to go with Devers. The way I feel right now, I'd play Devers every game. I just think the guy's rolling. I mean, his at-bats are good.
So would you have taken him out last night?
This is why I said I was a little surprised by it.
Yeah.
I thought he's swinging a good bat. Let him go. But he goes to Nunez and, again, gets a three-run homer. So how do you second-guess that? I mean, everything he does works. But I was a little surprised. He started him against a lefty, right. And yet later in the game, a lefty comes in and he took him out.
Right.
So I look at that and I say, well, whatever it is that they are reading.
Whatever they're doing is working.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, they're nailing every single one of them.
Stephen Providence, go.
All right. When Nunez hit that three-run home run, all I could hear in the back of my head was Eckersley saying it's party time. I mean, Cora's getting lucky with these decisions he's making. It could very well have fallen apart on him in any three of these division series. The fact that the Red Sox are even up 1-0 is a surprise. They didn't look like the powerhouse going up against an L.A. team that just got done playing 7 games. They looked tired. They had a 4 or 5 game. And the new.
I'm going to stop you because you're not going to stop talking. And I just totally disagree. Did the Red Sox not look ready? What are you talking about? What are you smoking? We can talk about it. No, they were ready to go from the very jump. Now, Sale faded quickly. But other than that, Sale looked great in the first inning. In the first inning, the Red Sox are barreling the ball, running the bases, taking advantage of defensive mistakes. What are you talking about? They looked overmatched. Stupid.
Oh, no, they came out guns blazing. And I just looked up Ryu. His numbers have been against righties than lefties. So if I'm Cora, I do the same thing I did last night. Start Devers, and the other thing is it gives them a right-handed bat off the bench late in the game.
Right, which they absolutely want because of those lefties out of the L.A. bullpen. That's how you neutralize that.
So, and Cora made some comment to this effect last night that I think that, you know, this gives us an option late in the game to put Nunez in there if we get a matchup late that we like. And, again, it worked. They're nailing everything.
Everything is working. Billy in Rhode Island, hi.
How you doing, Toga?
Good, Billy.
My comment's this, and I want to make it simple and think there isn't things to talk about, but that's based on, regardless what moves he makes or regardless what any manager makes, these guys got to come in and perform, regardless of who it is, whether it's relievers who supposedly have strong relievers on the Dodgers, and they came in and the guy gives up a three-run home run. So Nunez comes in, does his job, and he gets a three-run home run. And if you just keep playing ball and do it to the best of your ability, it doesn't matter what the manager does to a certain degree. You got to hit the ball. You got to get the base hit. You got to hit with two outs. I mean, I know I'm making it sound basic, but it's
No, but Bill, you're right. Whatever situation Cora's putting his players in, they're coming through with it.
And so to me, this
might... And the Dodgers did not. So is that the players or the manager putting them in the best position? Either way, Cora's making these calls, and then the players are delivering.
Absolutely. And to me, this is really Cora's greatest accomplishment as a manager. They bought in. Whatever it is, you know, Nunez finds out on the day of the game that he's not starting, and Cora says to him, just sit tight, because in the late innings, we're going to need you in this game. And Nunez says, okay, no sweat, whatever you need. If that's John Farrell, you know what they're saying? Yeah, okay. Then they turn around and go, a-hole. Right, a-hole.
All right, we continue with your calls. And one of the most surprising developments from last night, we'll get to that after Big Jim Murray's update here. Felger Mazigan coming to you from Lucky Strike next to Fenway Park.
In the shadows of Fenway, Felger and Maz are at Lucky Strike on Lansdowne with Budweiser on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Third pitcher of the night for Boston, Joe Kelly. Great numbers this postseason. 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. The 2-2. Struck him out. Nice swing and a miss. Back-to-back strikeouts for Kelly. He could strike out the side here in the sixth inning of Game 1 of the World Series. Chop to first, Pierce to Kelly. Bottom of the sixth inning, Red Sox coming to the plate, leading game 1 by 2.
And just listen to that man sitting here shaking his head.
I mean, he looked like Pedro. I don't know. I'm not kidding. No, with that changeup and that fastball.
The changeup, I'm like, where did this come from, you jackass?
Matt Kemp missed that ball by about 4 feet. Like, and I'm exaggerating.
No.
The three batters he faced, he made them look absolutely foolish.
I'm telling you, he looked like Pedro.
Yeah.
Seriously. He's throwing 100, and his changeup is dropping off the table. Like, I'm looking at it going, this is unbelievable. Like, who did this guy sell his soul to? Because during the regular season, he couldn't throw a freaking strike. Like, 14 pitches, 11 strikes, and overpowering, dominant. to me, if you were to say to me, what was the single biggest development in the game, I'd tell you Kelly's sixth inning. Because that's the hole, right? You've got Sale starting the game. Barnes comes in with men on base, which they've done consistently here in the postseason so far. You know that Brazier is sitting there, and they've got a starter lined up for the eighth. So who's going to get the sixth? Here comes Pedro. they dusted him off out of retirement, took him off the pregame set, put a uni on him, and threw him on the mound with some goggles and passed him off as Joe Kelly.
Murray?
Yeah, no, I was referring to him as John Wetland or Joe Wetland now because he's just it's just another guy who's killed the narrative. Joe Kelly, as you were just saying, Maz, was mostly a bum all year long, and he's another guy that has just completely killed the narrative, and now he's one of the guys that they're relying on.
Down is up, up is down. Jackie Bradley is Reggie Jackson, and Joe Kelly is John Wetland.
Yeah, and Eduardo Nunez is Reggie Jackson. It's like here we go. Like it is. It's everything they're doing everything right. From the manager to the players, they're doing everything right.
So we're going to debate. Well, it's all working.
Right.
It's all working.
Better way to say it.
If the results had gone the other way, we would have a ton of second guesses, I think, Encore. I think. We'll get into it here. Frank in the car, go.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tony. I was screaming at my TV. I'm like, pull Brazier out. Put Eovaldi in. Put your best guy against Machado. You don't mess around with a guy like that with the bases loaded when you haven't been pitching well at all. I just couldn't believe he let him in. I feel like the horseshoe's going to run out of luck at some point, but, you know, that was a mistake.
Okay, so this is the inning. Frank, thanks for the call, Frank. This is the inning I think everyone's just sort of forgotten or just... Brazier did not look good, and he didn't look good by a long shot.
Correct.
He didn't look good by a long shot. Here's his inning. He got Peterson to ground out to begin the inning, and then he has Muncy 0-2. Has him 0-2, and he gets to 3-2, and then Muncy singles.
And he hit it hard.
And he has him 0-2 and then loses him. Turner comes up, and I think singled on the first pitch.
Yep.
So now you're first and second, one out, and then here comes Grandal to pinch hit for Freeze, and he walks him on five pitches.
Correct.
He goes 3-0 on him and then walks him.
Yep.
So... You've just and Grandal can't get out of his own way. This guy has been a complete mental case on both sides of the ball, but he's a switch hitter, so Roberts goes to him there. He's just given up two hard singles, loses a guy on 0-2, walks the pinch hitter on five pitches. Now it's bases loaded, one out, and Manny Machado comes up. And Cora let him pitch to him.
He did. He left him in the game.
Is that the quote-unquote right call?
No, I was screaming for Eovaldi there. I was screaming for Eovaldi.
And you're saying they don't do it because they don't want Eovaldi coming in with men on. He's just not used to doing it.
I mean, I think. I don't have any other explanation other than that. And to me, it was, you know, this is what our plan is. And they got Rodriguez up for the lefty if they got past Machado. And now, in Brazier's defense, he threw Machado a good pitch. It was a cutter that ran away, and he got her off the end of the bat.
Crappy at bat. Crappy at bat, Machado. He's just walked to the bases loaded. Okay? He doesn't have his good stuff. He's not throwing the ball well. Two hard hits, a walk on five pitches. You've got to take one. Or if you're swinging at that first pitch, it's got to be middle in.
Absolutely.
And it hit the end of it, got to the end of his bat, that was a crappy at bat for Machado. It drove in a run just because he's so powerful he can mishit a ball and still get it to the outfield. But crappy at bat. You've got to see what Brazier's got there. He's falling apart.
And that is the inning where I thought Cora got lucky. Because I'll tell you the other thing that I realized in
and
that
so
inning.
So the next, just to finish up, the next at bat is Bellinger. So here comes Erod to face the lefty. And Erod immediately goes 2-0. And then Bellinger swings on a pitch that gets to the, you know, that he can't barrel up. And it's like, this guy, Erod's been a total mental case this postseason. You know, you've got him on their heels. You've got him 2-0. Don't swing unless it's middle in and you know you can drive the ball.
Yeah, and Bellinger popped it straight up. He hit it straight up in the air. And you know what? Watch his he missed it.
Oh, yeah. He was pissed.
Because he knew he got one to hit and he missed it.
So you think I think it was tailing away a little bit. I'm taking there. I'm making Eddie Rodriguez throw me a strike, and then I start the at-bat.
So this is where I thought Cora made some mistakes, and he got lucky. He got lucky because Roberts is looking at that inning going, and this is where I felt the danger of the Dodgers. I don't know if you felt this too.
Sure.
But when you saw Muncy come up and Brazier couldn't get him out, couldn't put him away.
The Dodgers have been in a lot of big spots, and you know if the right part of their order is up, there's tough outs in there.
So Brazier's going to get some lefties. So he got Muncy, and he couldn't put him away. And then Muncy hits one hard. And you can see that Muncy wants the ball in the inner half of the plate, and Brazier couldn't throw a changeup or a split or whatever it is that he throws it tails away from a lefty. He couldn't get it over. And so Muncy's sitting, waiting. He finally gets one on the inner part, and he drills it. And then Grandal gets up there, another lefty, and Brazier walks him. So Roberts' moves worked. Like, once he got those lefties against Brazier, they worked. And Cora got a break. He got a couple of breaks in that inning.
Okay, we continue. Thoughts on Chris Sale? We haven't gotten to that. Tom in South Boston, your thought on Chris Sale.
Hey, hi.
Tom, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Please go.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Hey, how you doing? Three quick Good. Points. How does Eovaldi coming in late in the series, late in the game last night, affect the bullpen going forward? I want to know. Nunez coming in late, good move, bad move for later on the series. And last thing real quick. My buddy left in the seventh inning last night for cheap seats right next to the bleachers. Is there a punishment worthy for that? Because that seems pretty non-fanatic.
I don't understand the third thing. I don't care about where your buddy went in the stands. What were the first two things he said? His comment line said Sale was bad last night. That's what I wanted to talk about. Was Sale bad last night?
Sale was good in the first inning, and then I think lost it every inning that went on. I mean, he got weaker and weaker as he went. And I don't know how you felt in the early part of the game or how Murray felt.
No, first inning, I'm like,
he was live.
Yeah, the
fastball was live.
Fastball was near 95. The slider looked all right. And then, you know, something wore off, I think, when the following innings he pitched.
And the ball was jumping.
Yeah.
Right? Like, independent of the radar gun readings, the ball was jumping out of his hand. Like, you could see it. The Dodgers were on the defensive. He was attacking. It looked more like what we're accustomed to seeing from Sale. I thought by the end of the second inning, it started to wear away, disappear. And Jimmy Stewart, our producer, sent some numbers that I hadn't seen until this morning. Sale's average velocity as fastball dropped from the first inning to the fourth inning by 3 miles an hour.
Wow.
Right? So by the time he left the game, he was averaging under 92. And so to me, that's how it felt watching him. Like, the ball just did not have the life on it. And by the time, and then again, he gets to 90 pitches, done. That's it. Cora's out of the dugout again. It feels like every game, 90 pitches, he goes and gets them. That's it. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, he hits that number and it's over. So I think that's the best you're going to get. That's the best you're going to get. I can't imagine the next game's going to be any better when he has less rest.
And no one said this. That if that's the way Sale was going to be, you could win a championship going away with Chris Sale looking like that. And you can. You are. Which is just, again, another...
Incredible.
Another incredible development with this team. Another pretty incredible thing happened last night, I think. Anyway, we'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment, which comes your way right after these words.
The Fall Classic at Fenway. Felger and Maz are live from Lucky Strike with Budweiser. The home of Red Sox fans. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you make history? Championships. Not once, not twice. You win again and again.
Impossible dream leaves, and the Boston Red Sox are the world champions.
Everything you do every day is about winning.
The Dodgers, champions of baseball. The Red Sox are world champs again.
There are few organizations in history who've created a tradition of winning. Here are two. From two cities that have experienced success in every major sport.
The greatest
have changed, but the commitment, the ambition, the goal has not. It's been like this for more than a century. These two teams now play for a ring, a championship, history. The Dodgers, the Red Sox, in the World Series on Fox.
Bill Belichick made that intro for Fox, but I'm going to go first. I thought it was freaking awesome. That was amazing. I'm jealous. The world should be jealous. Do you know how incredible that is that you live in a market, in a town, where you even have the opportunity to do something like that? You know, where you have one team playing in a championship and a living legend, all-time best ever, five-time champion, is there to read the open for the open of the other team's championship series. Do you know how cool that is? And so, like, I don't care how he sounded or what the script was or anything like that. Like, the execution, whatever. I'll let the experts, you know, do with that. Do you know how special that is? You know, and how, you know, there's not even a comp. I mean, there's barely even a comp for it. And, you know, I was trying to think of another city that could do something like that. The best I came up with was, let's say, the New York Knicks or the New York Football Giants are in their championship, and Derek Jeter reads the open for the beginning of that broadcast. Like, that would be a comp, okay? Come up with another one.
Well, for L.A., Magic Johnson or one of the Lakers could have done
it. Okay, so that leads to another thing, which is how would you folks have felt if that were Magic Johnson or Pat Riley? Because L.A. is a team that can pull it off.
Yeah, so Riley would be the one, actually, now that I think of it.
Right, so L.A. is one of the few. I think that Jeter example is one that compares to that. I think L.A. could pull it off with, you know, Magic or Riley or Kobe.
Tommy Lasorda, maybe?
So, I mean, let's go different sport, right? Okay, so it's someone from another sport in the same city who's a multi-champion. So it's the Lakers have someone who could have done that last night. How would you have felt? Oh, my God, the crying today. I don't know if I would have been able to take the caterwauling and the crying from you people if it was Magic or Riley or Kobe, you babies. Okay.
Kareem.
Okay, so, right. So, sorry, that's my one little nit to pick. But I think it's so badass and so special and just so cool that, I'm jealous of it. Like, it is, there's no one who could do that. Certainly where I'm from, you'd have to bring back Lombardi from the dead to do it. Like, there's no one alive that equates to that who could do that. And I just saw it. It was so badass. It's not even funny. Badass.
So look, I mean, let me give you my little story that goes with it first. I know how much you love it.
I hate stories.
Okay, but I drove over late last night after the baseball reporter. So and I watched the game in Tony C's because we did post game from there last night. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear any of the broadcast. I didn't hear any of the pregame. That right there is the first time I heard it. Okay, that is the first time I heard it, and I'm not BSing you. Like, little hairs on the back of my neck standing up.
It should.
So I just think that, you know, I don't know, Belichick doing the open to that. And if you want me to critique the execution, I could do that. He needs a little work.
Well, screw it. Who cares? It's just the idea.
But the script is great, and him reading it gives you everything you need out of it. And this is why, look, like, you know, the whole Boston-LA thing, to dramatize that part of it in Belichick's voice, I mean, this is why Boston is what it is when it comes to sports cities. There's no place better.
No one else could even do it if they tried. No one could even do it. Living legend, all-time great, five-time champion, narrating the Open to another team in town's, you know, bid for their fourth championship. This, like, you can't. There's no one else who can even attempt to do that. And it's just,
yeah. I thought it was really well done, and I was glad that it was upbeat. I was expecting.
All right, welcome back to our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, 617-779-0985. We're going to try and reconnect with Mike Felger and Tony Maserati down at Lucky Strike, as Billy Lanny is behind the board today. Matt McCarthy, going to fill in here for a few minutes. Again, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Mark in Webster. What's going on, Mark?
Who's this?
It's Matt McCarthy filling in while we reconnect with Felger and Maz. What are your thoughts, Mark?
My thoughts are, he said, you know, nobody else could do the open last night because nobody else had five championships. What about Bill Russell? Why couldn't Bill Russell have done the open last night?
I mean, Bill Russell would have been good. I mean, you think Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, a lot of good options.
Well, I think Russell had more championships than Bird did. I mean, you know, I think Russell could have done the open with his credentials.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, there are plenty of options, Mark, and thanks for the call. I mean, listen, you got plenty of good options. You could have gone with Bird, Magic. We're spoiled in this town. I think we've got Felger and Maz back.
He's going to have less rest than he did leading up to this one. Now, if you want to tell me that later in the series he can come out of the pen and maybe give him an inning again because the first inning in this game was decent, sure, yeah, fine. But that's it. It's all in terms of, I'd be shocked if he all of a sudden pops out and gives you six innings. I don't see that happening. I can't imagine that's going to happen at this stage. And if you want to talk about the state of the game, you know, and the way it's being managed in this postseason especially, to me, think of it in these terms. We hyped this game yesterday as two of the best pitchers of their generation, maybe the two best left-handers in the game over the last 10 years. Right, in particular. They combined for 8 innings. Combined.
It's incredible.
And they gave up 6 runs, I think it was.
And Kershaw's healthy. I mean, Sale has an excuse. Kershaw's healthy.
So I just look at it and say, wow, talk about taking the air out of a balloon with a pitching matchup.
Well, Kershaw, just a moment on him. I was, you know, and I felt it could go on either way with him. You know, dangerous guy. All-time great, knocking at the door, maybe his last chance at it. He goes out to the bullpen all alone on the Sunday night, you know, to get ready, that moment for him, that singular moment. What was that? Was that a guy who's dialed in, is ready to break through and have his moment, or was it Chevy Chase the night before the big match where he's hitting through Spackler's cabin on the Kentucky Sensimillion Bluegrass mix, right, because he's so mental he doesn't know what to do with himself? I mean, I don't know if Kershaw was a basket case, but what was that bullpen session for? I didn't feel like he was quite ready to go. He wasn't quite ready to go in that ballgame, and then they start bitching about the bullpen after the game? Like, it's too close to the crowd or whatever? Like, why'd you go scope it out if you're then going to go bitch about that? The whole point about going there was to get used to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, boo-hoo-hoo. Welcome to the playoffs. You know, fans on top of you, they're going to make it tough for you. Boo-hoo-hoo. So I just look at that. Now, look, I think, you know, Chris Mad Dog Russo, when we had him on yesterday, said he thinks that Kershaw will have one so-so one and a good one.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good one coming.
That's what he did against the Brewers. Maybe it's a home road thing. I mean, he's got to be more comfortable at home in that twilight, you know, in that setting. He just has to be.
Warmer weather, right.
So let me say this. The Red Sox can win without Sale. I think we've seen that now, and I think it's apparent. The Dodgers cannot win unless Kershaw's an ace. He can't. They need him game one, game five. Relief game 7, game 1, game 4, game 7. He has to do that. Or one of these guys has to do that, and he's the one. So I think it's, you know, far more crucial for the Dodgers to get that out of their guy than the Red Sox to get it out of theirs. And that's not good news for the Dodgers because he did not look good last night. All right, the quintessential example of whatever Cora does is right, whatever the other guy does is wrong. We'll do that right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.